So you ever been separated from someone, separation not of your own choosing, something you didn't have power to do anything about? Perhaps a family member was shipped to Persian Gulf or any place where America has been at war, and you got up every morning and you looked at the news, trying to find unit numbers, trying to find geography, trying to figure out if you had any idea whether the person you loved had been in harm's way while you were asleep. They're on the other side of the world, and here you are, and there's not anything you can do about it. Or maybe you had a child who was accepted to a great school 1,000 miles away, and people had told you about empty nests, but you didn't know it was going to feel like someone had vacuumed the contents of your life and the love that you had had since you held that newborn, and all of a sudden you just feel the void, just feel that void, that distance in between. Separation comes a lot of different ways, and when it is not of our choosing and there is nothing we can do about it, it is truly painful. Well, the language of our faith describes sin as separation from God. We've probably all heard this since children, that when we sin, we are separated from God. And we think about what it feels like to be separated from someone we love, or we think about, I have sinned, therefore I'm separated from God. But I'm not sure we ever give much thought to what it must feel like from God's side. That God is separated from all his children. They have all chosen to be apart, and there is that void. Now, the difference being, not only that God can do something, but since the beginning, God has been doing something about it. I always find the story of Adam and Eve in the garden to be very touching, because the, in Scripture, when someone is publicly naked, it is a symbol of their shame and their sin. Nudity itself is not wrong. It is that public nakedness. And when they suddenly come to the awareness that they are naked in front of God, all they can do is go hide. And then there in that very tender moment, the first act of reconciliation is for God to make them clothes so that there can be something to cover so that they don't have to go hide. As we read throughout the Bible, from there, God is at work calling children home, trying to end that gulf, trying to end the separation. And of course, as Paul says to us in this passage that Henry read just a few moments ago, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Now, if you're a banker, we think of reconciling as putting the accounts right. But reconciliation, we sing of it at Christmas time, God and sinners reconciled. This is like two family members who haven't been speaking, and say two sisters, and somebody tells you, oh, my sister was over this past Saturday. Well, I thought you didn't speak. Well, we have been reconciled. We have been put back together. And so God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, bringing people back. Now, this is where the story of the star thrower comes to our attention. I have heard this told by preachers before I was ever a preacher, which was a long time ago. I hate to admit it. Long time ago. And where I got my oil changed for 25 years in Rome, there was the owner of the shop was very active in the Boys and Girls Club. And in some way, they had given him a little plaque that had this story printed on it. And it was there in the waiting room. Every time you get your 10W30, you could see the story of the star thrower there on the wall. And the way the story is told 99% of the time is the way Miss Jennifer told it to the children today. And that is all part of it, but it's not all of it. And to me, the most powerful part of the story ends with this: I can't save them all, but I can save this one. We've all heard that part of the story. It's actually a true story. It happened to a man named Lauren Isley, who was an anthropologist, taught at Penn. And he was in the Galapagos Islands, and he had seen this. And what we miss is what a challenge it was to the way he understood the world. He talks about it, he goes back to his hotel room, and he spends a night in a crisis of the soul. Because here is someone who has given their life to doing nothing but trying to do good for every individual fish, starfish, that he can find. And so after this crisis of the soul, Isley gets up the next morning before dawn, and he goes out and he finds the star thrower. And this is part of the meditation that's printed prior to the order of service in your bulletin. And when he sees him, he is compelled to go join him. And he looks and he says, he speaks briefly, and he says, "Call me another thrower." And together they stand and throw starfish back into the sea, as many as they can. And Lauren Isley has this sense: we weren't just saving starfish, we were saving people. And he talks about the starfish that are there on the beach. He says, "While all around roared the insatiable waters of death." I think that could describe the age in which we live. It is a graceless age. It is an age in which there is anger and hostility and partisanship, and people divided in every possible way. However you could divide a group of people, it can be divided that many ways. And Paul says, it is not enough that we have been reconciled to God through Christ, but God has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. We who have been brought back, we who come and gather in the sanctuary and sing the hymns and read the scripture, offer our prayers, to us has been given the ministry to reconcile others. Now, this is the place where you often lose people as a preacher, because people think, I'm sorry, not me. That's for ministers and for missionaries and Christians who need extra credit. And I am just fine. I do not need to be involved in that, because we have images of people who stand on street corners and collar people. I remember going to a football game at the Georgia Dome, and there was a guy out there with his little amp, and he is preaching at everybody who walks by. And I had a premonition. I thought, oh, I need to go to the next intersection, because if I cross this street, he's going to call me out. And I'm halfway across. He goes, "You there, you coming this way, with the white shirt on." you know Jesus? And I said, well, I'm a minister. He said, well, that won't save you. And I thought, oh, I know that. I know that better than you do. But you know, we find ourselves, we don't want to be seen like that. We want to bring people to Christ, to reconcile them to God in a way that fits with who we are. And here's what I want to say to you. I actually picked up the ministry of saving fish. We who have been reconciled have been called to pick up the ministry of reconciliation. But that can take a lot of different forms. I have found that all I have to do is deal with the person who is in front of me and the person who needs it. And in this age where we do find people who are so distraught by the world around them and the circumstances and people who have lost family members during COVID and there was no service and people who have died alone, you know, if we have joy, we are just simply called to share that joy with that person. A person who can't pray. I have found one of the most effective witnessing tools is simply when you encounter somebody and you begin to hear their story to say, how can I pray for you? And if they will allow you to pray with them just as they've requested. You know, I find that if people are on a low supply of faith, to say, you know, my faith is strong right now. How can I give you some of mine? We all the time say, I don't know how people who aren't part of a church make it. I don't know how they make it without that sense of support. You know, it's very simple to say, do you have a church? Because if you don't, I've got one. And we love each other. And we'd want you to come. You know, we don't have to go out and win the world. We have to be faithful with the person who's in front of us. And there are ways that all of us can do that that's non-threatening, non-offensive, but just simply offers this great gift of Jesus Christ. I read one time that if we knew how to present the gospel correctly, it would be like offering someone a shiny red apple and saying, wouldn't you like to eat this? Not like Eve in the garden, but attractive food, something that someone would want, sweet. If we knew how to accurately present the gospel, it would just be like offering fruit. God was in Christ, bridging the distance, pulling the distance back. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. We know that Christ has done this for us. In all the people we know, is there not someone else? Is there not someone else who needs the distanced bridge, the distance bridged? And perhaps you are the star thrower who can bring them back. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for the people in our lives who have done this for us. People who have said a word, people who have offered a prayer, people who have given us joy. And we pray that today, that you would make us aware of how strong our faith is, that our simple prayers can be effective if offered earnestly. And we pray that we would offer these as small tokens of our love for you to the people in the world around us. Grant us the privilege to participate in the ministry of reconciliation between you and those who have been separated. through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're going to sing our hymn of dedication, God of Grace and God of Glory. This is, to me, one of the great, great mission, one of the great hymn, great mission hymns, one of the great hymns that calls us to participate with God in the world and for God in the world. Sometimes we take the hymn that's in this position in the service and cut it short. I think this is one worth singing all the stanzas for. We would offer to you the opportunity, if you do not know Christ, be reconciled to Christ. If you're not sure how that works, I'll be glad to sit down, talk with you, pray for you. If you are a member of another church family somewhere and you now think this is the place God has called you to be, it is a good church home. Come and be a part. We're going to stand and sing, God of Grace and God of Glory, singing all stanzas. Let's stand together.